In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight we begin another journey through Lent. We journey with our Lord all the way to his cross, where he goes to deal with our sins. Lent is a season of repentance, where we are given the opportunity to reflect upon our Lord's suffering and death, and what that means to sinners like you and me. We will take this journey together by spending time looking at repentance through the eyes of the psalmist. For we find in the book of Psalms a number of penitential psalms that approach repentance in a variety of ways. And so we will consider one each week over the next 6 weeks. Our psalm for Ash Wednesday is Psalm 6 that we chanted at the beginning of our service. This psalm is a prayer of David. And he starts his prayer not with a sense of guilt or shame, but facing the troubles of life and calling on God for rescue and relief. David understands, however, that the troubles of his life are connected in some way to his sins. And so he calls on God to look away from his sins and be forgiving. O Lord, David cries out in prayer, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. We've all been there, haven't we? And perhaps you are right in the middle of it even now. Something has gone wrong. Life is not going the way you expected. You feel like you're under attack. Is it sickness that you're battling? Are you facing sorrow? Is your life filled with deep anxiety? Is someone or something creating havoc in your life? Or perhaps you are confronted with your own moral brokenness that there seems to be no remedy for. At these moments, we pray for help. You may not even know what to pray for, except relief. And David is short on specifics, allowing you and I to fill in the blanks. He's short and to the point, crying out to God for help, but acutely aware that God owes him, nor you and I, nothing. We don't deserve his help, but deserving has nothing to do with Christ and his cross, does it? So like David, we cry too to God for what we do not deserve. We turn to God for grace, his undeserved kindness towards us. David cries out, heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? David is at the end of his rope. God has brought him to the place where he has nowhere else to turn except to cry out to the only one who can rescue him. At times it can seem like God has abandoned us in our time of trouble. I mean, we want a God who will fix us. But what we really need is a God who will suffer with us and deliver us. Not so much from our circumstances, but from ourselves. So like David, we also may plead, turn, O Lord, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. David clings to God's loving commitment to be his God and to make David his child. God's steadfast love is His love for you that doesn't depend upon your performance, but upon God's unrelenting, loving, and gracious decision to be your God and to be your Savior. Yet because we're sinners, we continue, like David, to make decisions against God. We find ourselves going our own way and doing our own thing. Apparently, whatever problem David faced, he felt like it was even threatening his life. And death is the great leveler, isn't it? It confronts everyone eventually and exposes the fact that this is the one problem we cannot escape from. You even have the mark on your forehead to remind us that we are but dust, and to dust you and I will return. The thought of an existence apart from God's presence led David to proclaim, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise?" To be judged justly for our sin is to confess that you and I justly deserve God's present and eternal punishment. I mean, we deserve eternal death. That is, an eternity lived in the absence of God's presence and His love. That's the sinfulness of sin, of your sin and my sin. This is where it will lead us, apart from God's gracious mercy. The effects of sin are profound, and they're painful. Consider the effects of David's sin, that he was faint. His bones were in agony. His soul was in anguish. He was weary, consumed with weeping, his eyes wasting away because of his grief. I mean, you and I may not have the same troubles, but we have troubles that threaten us, that weigh heavily upon us. These are the problems that just don't seem to want to go away. We don't like to talk about it either, or we think about it, our sinfulness. We would much rather think of ourselves as basically nice people who are making a good effort. We're doing the best we can do. What's the matter with that? However, God's law is harsh. It's unbending. God hates sin. And God will justly judge and condemn all sin and all sinners. Sin isn't something that only unbelievers have to deal with. Christians, you and me, we're sinners too that need to be rescued, who need a Savior. David describes the very real troubles of his heart while he prays. These are the sorts of troubles that gnaw at us as well and consume us. And David doesn't hold back. He tells God just how frustrating and awful it is. That's what makes David's prayer so powerful. We can relate to his pain, his suffering. Here he teaches us how to pray and reminds us that God is not a fair weather God or a God only able to deal with the little problems of life. He is a God of unfailing love, never-ending mercy, and all-saving power. And He can deal with the worst things that come upon us and even the worst things that He finds in us. David begins his prayer with his unworthiness as we must. We don't deserve the goodness of the Lord or His help. And like David, we call upon God anyhow. But why? Because of His promises. This psalm confronts a problem that doesn't go away easily or quickly, just like many of our troubles. And the prayer turns quickly to the grace and to the loving kindness of God for our help. We too, like David, call out with repentant hearts, "Turn, O Lord, deliver my soul, save me for the sake of your loving kindness." David faces the reality of sin, his sin, just as we must. He also describes the awful effects of sin in real down-to-earth terms of pain, grief, and sorrow. Perhaps that is why life can be so difficult for us to navigate through. Why it is wrought with the problems that we face. I mean, we often contribute, don't we, to them by our own violation of God's law. David is struggling with this terrible situation. Whatever it may be, he's torn and grief-stricken, and he's guilty. And he prays and does not see the immediate answer of God. So what is his response in this psalm? David is brought to the answer, the only answer that brings comfort and peace. Faith. Trust in God's promises to be his God and to be his Savior. For he cries out in bold faith, "Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For the Lord God has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment." In the midst of great fear and frustration of being confronted with our sin and even death, my dear friends, there is hope. That is the message of David's prayer. No matter how messed up your life has become, no matter how far down the path of sin you have trod, no matter what nightmares trouble you or the pain that you've caused yourself or others, God is merciful and forgiving. He hates the sinner for breaking the law, but because of Jesus Christ, God loves the sinner even more. He loves you so much that he sent his Son to a cross to die for you. God hates the sinner. Yet he took all of that wrath and he poured it out upon his only Son while he was hanging from a cross. God's unfailing love will put back together what nothing else can. Only God can scatter your enemies of sin, death, and the devil. Only the mercy of God and Jesus Christ can turn your life around and remake you. Literally, reborn you in the waters of your baptism. Only God has given his Son in a holy meal to feed you and to forgive you. This Lent, we are taking a journey together. We are taking a journey together to the cross of Jesus Christ. And on this journey, we see and hear of God's mercy for lost sinners like you and me. We hear his word proclaim God's gift of forgiveness that he gives to you and me through his gospel promises. He gives absolution for repentant sinners. Being confronted with our own sin and brokenness is not easy. It's uncomfortable, disheartening. Repentance is hard. No, actually it's impossible, apart from God's gracious work, to bring you and I to a place where we admit what God's law has exposed in us. Confession involves a death. The death of the old sinner in each of us. And in the face of your death, I am here this evening to hold up God's gift of forgiveness to you and everything He has to give you in His Son, Jesus Christ. My dear friends, for His sake, your sins are forgiven. You, dear one, have life, new life, eternal life, and even now, abundant life, to live a Christed life, one of repentance and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen.